This morning's responsive reading prior to our Sunday school lesson came from Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 to 33. So I would invite you to go back and reread or read for the first time Proverbs 1, 20 to 33. In verses 20, we are told that wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gate, in the city, she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? So notice in verses 20 to 23, wisdom is simply illustrated as like a town crier. Someone who goes in the middle of a village or in the town square and begins to broadcast news. Maybe ringing a bell to get everyone's undivided attention. Wisdom is portrayed as the town crier. Heaven cries to the sons of men. And unfortunately, we are told in verses 20 to 23 that wisdom, and now we're not talking about 1 plus 1 is 2, 2 times 2 is 4. We're not talking about gravity. If you defy it, you're going to fall and probably hurt yourself, if not kill yourself. We're not talking about the wisdom of the world. We're not talking about science. We're not talking about mathematics, geometry, algebra, trigonometry, things of that nature. We're talking about biblical wisdom, the knowledge that is acquired from the scriptures. Okay? That's who the wisdom here is. And probably in every Sunday across many churches that are still faithful to the gospel message, still faithful to the Bible, they don't question it, they don't challenge its authority, they just simply freely preach it without apology. Wisdom continues to cry in many congregations across the world. And the question is, do the simple ones of verse 22, those who may by chance be in that church, they're not saved, but maybe they've been invited, or maybe they've been taken there by a parent or by a grandparent, and they sit in the pew, and they're hearing the word of God preached. Such a one is called a simple one, especially if they take that wisdom, or they take the gospel message about the Christ and his work on the cross, and they basically turn their shoulder, or they turn their back to that wisdom. Okay? Verse 22, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Notice how the Bible describes the one who hears the sound of the gospel, or reads a very sound gospel tract with a very clear message. There's no ambiguity. All right? A clear gospel message with no sectarian slant, just the pure word of God explained. And the person takes that track, or maybe a booklet or a pamphlet, and when they're done, they toss it over their shoulder, or they toss it in a dumpster or an ash can, and they go on their merry way. The Bible describes those as fools, as simple, and as a scorner. They see no delight in the Christ. They see no delight in the message. They get very offended because I mentioned just a few moments ago in our call to instruction from Galatians chapter 5, verses 3 to 13, that the cross of Jesus, if properly proclaimed, is a very offensive symbol. We have neutered the cross in our day by plating it with gold and silver, diamonds, emeralds, and rubies. We make the cross into a pretty piece of jewelry, don't we? It sparkles and it glitters in the light. But if you preach the work of Christ that was accomplished on that cross, and you describe in detail what he went through and the why and the wherefore, it's a very bloody offensive symbol. But see, the natural man doesn't want to be offended. He doesn't want to be made to feel uncomfortable. So we varnish the cross of Christ. We make it appealing to the flesh. But I believe in verses 24 to verses 33, wisdom gets personified. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean that the wisdom that is mentioned first in verses 20 to 23 now becomes a real live person. And I believe that real live person is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself, God in the flesh. Because did you notice the word I, directing the words from the lips of this person, we are to redirect our attention to not only his words, but to the one who's speaking to us. Because I have called, verse 24, ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. So notice the response in verse 24 to 25 by the typical man on the street. Whether somebody is at a street corner with a megaphone standing on a little soapbox, and they're preaching the gospel, and in many eyes they're making a fool of themselves, but nonetheless this person gets on top of a little box with maybe some type of an instrument to carry his voice, and he begins to proclaim the gospel. Or the pastor right now who's behind his pulpit speaking to a congregation of maybe a handful of people, or maybe several hundred, if not maybe several thousand. Or maybe the church that's meeting underground somewhere in some part of the world where Christianity has already been outlawed. And it's a matter of life and death. So they're hiding in secret. They're hiding in a field. Or maybe they're hiding in a barn. Or maybe they're in a tunnel, like some of the saints have done over the past 21 centuries. Is anybody out there listening? According to the Lord Jesus, by and large, the rank and file of the man in the street, they hear the gospel, and what do? Like the first ground hearer in the parable, bears no fruit. The devil comes and takes away the seed that was planted. So many distractions out there. The seed is choked and bears nothing. The third ground hearer. But then we come to Jesus' response to those who ultimately reject his wisdom. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. So notice, there does come a time, probably, in someone's life. You ever hear the expression, I gotta sow my wild oats in my youth. And then when I get a little older, or I become a senior citizen, I'm on Social Security and I'm carrying an oxygen tank as my companion, then I'll reconsider Christ and his words. Ever hear people that talk that way? When I get older, then I'll contemplate religion. Well, notice here, when that time does come, and you begin to call upon him, and you begin to seek him, Jesus says, you're going to come up shortchanged. I may not be found of you. I may not be willing to listen to you. Matter of fact, in verse 26, we have some very strong language. Laugh and mock when the hour of your death comes. You've got to admit, that's very offensive to a 21st century ear-tickling congregation. Verse 29. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. That's why verse 29 explains the verses 26 to 28 on God's response. And now, later in life, they're wanting to seek the Lord and get things right with him as they're facing death. And there's no connection. Why? All of your life you hated knowledge, and all of your life you demonstrated no fear of me. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Now, up until verse 32, everything seems hopeless. But notice grace and mercy. Verse 33. But whosoever hearken unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. But I did skip verse 23 on purpose. return you at my reproof. That's basically the invitation that's being found in verse 33. Whoso hearkeneth unto me. When you begin to really listen to the gospel, see your need, then you begin to turn. You repent. I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Is that not the words of the new covenant in Jeremiah chapter 31? Is that not similar verbiage describing what happens in the new covenant, which Jesus himself inaugurated when he lifted up the cup that night, the night of his betrayal? Is that also not a veil picture of the church? Because what goes on under the new covenant? What was formed during the new covenant? What was being developed in the days of Jesus' ministry? I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Built upon him as the foundation, as the bedrock to his church. And so even here in the Old Testament, we can preach the gospel. And yet there are those who tell us that the book of Proverbs is not for us who live under the age of grace or the church age. Because it's not our mail. It belongs to somebody in the old covenant. Totally ludicrous. Totally blasphemous. This has more relevance today than ever before. May God choose to bless his word. Ahem.